Hey, welcome to The Conversation. This is Andy Mason, and you're listening to Authentic Conversations around the messy intersection of faith, family, and business. And this week, the world has never been like this in my lifetime, probably in yours either. It certainly is crazy. And I am now back in Redding, California. I'm sitting in my bedroom, but it's my own bedroom at this time. I'm isolated. I do have a visitor, but this is my wife, and she is 6 feet apart because I'm self-isolated because I went to Europe last week. And what I'm going to do is unpack what happened in a previous podcast. You'll learn about the decision and how we made that decision to go. But here's what happened when we're there, and then how everything changed. So the decision that we made to change and adjust, and even coming back and self-isolating when I feel 100% fine. I just ran 10 miles yesterday in training for an event. I'm pumped. I'm excited. It's frustrating. I don't feel like this. I've experienced contradicting situations coming through the airport. And why do I do what I do? So that's the background that's going to listen to. You can find this written down in a blog on andyandjanine.com or in the show notes. And here we go. So thanks for listening. So firstly, last week, or this weekend just gone, I was supposed to be in the Ukraine doing a Heaven and Business conference. And the plan was to travel via Germany, stay with some friends, and do a one-night quick meeting while I was there on the way to Ukraine. So before going, I checked in with Ukraine. Everything was good as planned. Janine and I were making decisions on a day-to-day basis. Janine, any comment on that as we were planning to go?
Oh, I just had kept saying the risk is if you go that you could be quarantined somewhere. I'm not worried about you getting the virus, but there is a risk to consider is, you know, that you get quarantined somewhere for 2 weeks. But we decided if Ukraine says it's good to go, then off you go. And so they said it was fine. It was only one case. And so off he went on Tuesday night. And on Wednesday, he called me midday. He just got there and proceeded to tell me that he'd had an email from the Ukraine. And I had also seen that the Ukrainian government had basically closed everything down and there was to be no public meetings. So
what do we do? So it's, how do we even decide? And so here's four key steps in terms of that process, and then we'll talk about where we're at, what we're doing now, and how we're managing as a family with four, with one person self-isolated who seems to be well, but to manage risk, and whose risk is it that we're even deciding over? So you will have some of these things going on where you are as well. So firstly, I had to just walk through what my options were. What could I do? Bearing in mind, I've got two international students from Bethel School of Ministry with me, one from Australia, one from the Netherlands. And so them being with me in Germany is going to affect what we do while we're there. So firstly, A, do I travel to Ukraine anyway and meet just with the owner, just with the host and maybe 10 to 15 of his team? But would we even get out of there afterwards? B, do we travel to the Netherlands? I've got some very good friends there. They've been saying, just come for the weekend, spend time with us. That would have been fun. Thirdly, do I stay in Germany and serve the local business community, which within what we were doing? And then finally, do I cancel all travel, just jump straight back on a plane and head home to Redding, California with my tail tucked between my legs? So that was number one, is what are the options? Two, who are the stakeholders? This I thought was really important. And Janine has been so much better at this than me because I've just been thinking about myself and the misery of being stuck and isolated rather than how this affects others. So in this situation, the people concerned were primarily my wife, my family, the team that was with me, and my German hosts. The Ukraine host had already communicated we would reschedule when the situation changes. So those are the people that are involved. There's still so many unknowns. Would we get in? Would we be able to get out? And so what we did is then talk with our German hosts and seeing what was going on, what do they sense? And all together, we sensed that the right decision was, number one, to come to Germany there's some whole nother story around that while we were there. But secondly, that we were supposed to be there. So number three is, what does God say? I spoke with my team and our German hosts, and we stood around the kitchen and prayed, and all of us had the sense to stay in Germany to do the planned meeting following the night, and that was the second day, and then talk to the local pastor, see if there's some way that we can serve him. Just the sense that we're here for something more than just the 2 days, what is there for that? So that was number one, what are the options? Number two, who are the stakeholders? Number three, what does God say? We sensed him say, stay in Germany. And then number four, make the decision, but keep your ears and eyes open. So this is where I'm going to get Janine's input. Janine was in full support, and I called you. Can you remember that conversation?
I can remember. I was sitting outside Home Depot, sitting in the truck, and you called and told me what was going on. And initially you had kind of indicated that where you'd come to was to talk to the local pastor. And at that stage, it sounded like you were leaning towards staying till the Sunday. And initially I was fine with that, if you know that's what you've heard from God. And then just as we carried on talking, I said, hang on a minute, what if there's another option that it doesn't feel right for you to speak to his church, knowing that he wasn't going to be able to gather as a full church, it was going to be online. I said, I feel like that church needs to hear from their pastor. And what if it wasn't that? You heard pastor, to support the pastor, but maybe there's a different thing and maybe it's just praying for him. And once I said that out loud, you said, oh, actually, we had kind of been thinking the same thing. You hadn't actually articulated it. And so then it was easy to say, okay, if that's the plan, then the best option is for you to rebook to come home after that one night meeting.
Yeah. And just a quick edit of that information. We didn't know at that time that the Sunday meetings would be only online. We, at that time, we thought they would still have their normal Sunday practice or Sunday service. But yeah, you're right. So the interesting thing there is we kind of sense something. There's something in Germany, there's something with the pastor. But then once I spoke to my wife and with Janine and further processed that, it just like, oh, this is what it is. It just made it so much clearer. So we spoke to the pastor and he said, look, I can't get back to you until the following evening. And just we knew in that moment, we need to make decisions straight away. And if it was going to then work out with him, great. If not, we need to be back on a plane on Friday before the weekend. So we go through this crazy process with the airline. They wanted to charge us $1,800. We ended up speaking to a manager. They adjusted it. We finally get there. We get it all locked in, loaded, and then finally go to bed after an hour and a half on the phone and wake up the next morning and suddenly everything has changed. Now, bear in mind, when we booked the tickets the night before to come home, they were 90% of the plane was empty. It was like an easy transfer. But then would we call or you actually send a message or something through the next morning?
Yeah, so overnight is when President Trump made the declaration that we were no longer receiving people from Europe into the US. And so, of course, everybody quickly tried to change their flights. Now, Andy had done all his wheeling and dealing before all that craziness started. And so when he woke up the next day, he found out, man, it was just as well, because he actually, as difficult as it was to rework the flights, it wasn't as difficult as it would have been if he'd waited any longer. And so, of course, he and his team got on a flight to come back. They got back in 3 hours before the deadline. And the next decision then was, of course, as you come back, knowing that the deadline, that Friday night deadline, midnight, was if you come back from Europe, you are to self-quarantine for 14 days. And so we both really expected that in coming back, I kept saying, I think they're going to give you information maybe as you deplane, as you come back through the airport, and about quarantining and about what that looks like. It was actually quite difficult for us to research and find out what the CDC was saying about what that could and should look like. And then Andy experienced something quite different than that in the airport.
Yeah, it was, I mean, we were having conversations. I was flip-flopping backwards and forwards in terms of, you know, what's real, what's not. It doesn't seem like anything's even going on. I don't see any sick people. I don't know any sick people. And so Janine's communicating what's happening via the media, what's happening on the CDC website. So we land in San Francisco, get off the plane, and the plane is full, by the way. And there are other planes landing at the same time. It is packed coming through into immigration. So there's people everywhere. And there was nothing. There was no information, no handout. And talks of, you know, social distancing, there was none of that going on. It was close proximity lines as per what you normally experience in an airport. So it's like, oh my gosh, I was confused. If this is so serious, why is there such, there's the gateway wide open and there's no management in place? So we have that. I think I get home.
You called me from San Francisco airport and started talking like, I am not quarantining. And to be honest, I was not happy because everything I had been reading made me feel it was important for us as good citizens that he should quarantine, which I knew was going to be not easy. But yeah, I didn't realize what Andy was experiencing at the airport. And when he got home, then we're able to talk through what was it like and why have you changed your mind about isolating at home? And so talk through, you know, what is the real deal and what is our response going to be and what is that response going to be led by, really?
Yeah, which is, I'm looking at everybody else and, well, they're not doing it, so why should I do it? And then I'm looking at myself, well, I feel fine, I'm not sick, I don't get sick, and all of those things. And then talking to Janine was really helpful. And this is the thing for me, is that when it all comes down to who is the one at risk. And the bottom line here, I'm just going to read this out to you. I'm part of a large organization, that's Bethel Church in my city. And I've got a daughter with a heart condition. So I will be self-isolating in my own house for the next 2 weeks. I'm not happy. This is not fun. Especially when I'm a super relational person and my love language is touch. This seems absolutely crazy, but this is not about me. It's not my personal risk. It's about slowing down the spread of the virus as best as possible to protect the vulnerable and to allow the medical profession to get a handle on how to control it. It is very highly likely that I am perfectly healthy, but that 0.01% of a chance of introducing the virus to my daughter, who works in the food industry, or to the husband of an employee, or to the grandmother of my neighbor, it's not worth the risk. In other words, my discomfort and isolation for 2 weeks is lower cost than the cost of my daughter or community member being affected through me.
Exactly. Exactly. And that decision didn't come easy to you because...
Oh my gosh.
The first day, to be honest, he was a bit sulky.
Only and, the first day?
Yeah, the first day. And I, well, maybe longer than that. But we had to talk through again. It just needed a mindset shift for you to really fully embrace this is real and it's not being overly fearful, it's just actually being cautious with the view in mind of you know, what is our government asking us to do, and trusting that they have the most up-to-date information that we don't necessarily know about, but we are just gonna err on the side of caution for the benefit of those around us. And knowing that, like Andy said, our daughter Hannah, she works at In and Out. If he was infected and he gave it to her and she's asymptomatic and then she goes in and is serving burgers to customers, how far could we spread this thing while all feeling fine? And so Andy is stuck in the bedroom and the rest of us are stuck not having him around and bringing meals and drinks and coffees to him to keep him happy and waving at him from the doorway, keeping our distance. And it's a challenge, it's not fun, but it's the right thing to do. I was in the grocery store this morning and mentioned it to the checkout lady and she just turned and looked at me, you know, what was happening, that my husband was isolating at home because he'd come back from Europe, was perfectly fine. And she just turned to me and she said, thank you so much for doing the right thing. She said, I'm seeing so many people that aren't. it's just nice to hear that somebody's doing the right thing to try and help slow down the spread of this virus.
Yeah, so what is life looking like for us over the next couple of weeks?
Well, all the kids are now home from school.
Yeah, so,
they're all doing school.
School's closed.
Yeah, school's closed, so they're doing...
church is closed.
Church is closed.
I've just sent my entire team home to work from home.
Yep. The only outside interaction at this point is Hannah is still working as of tonight. We'll see what happens tomorrow. And so we are staying at home and having fun, and I've told the kids...
you're having fun.
Well, we're having fun. Andy's working from the bedroom. I'm trying to with the kids. Obviously, we've got teenage kids who are very aware of what's going on and feeling, honestly, some anxiety. And so we are dealing with that by talking about it. We prayed together today, took communion together today. I've told them this is, you're not on vacation, there'll be no sleeping in. So we're keeping a routine going, and we're mixing in just some fun times with, just as keeping things as normal as we can. We're also just trying to encourage each other to talk about how we're feeling. So there's no shame in feeling unsettled and feeling anxious, and I think bringing that out and acknowledging that, yep, this is a kind of crazy time to be alive, is a good way, rather than hiding it inside and feeling ashamed that I'm feeling like this. So that's what it looks like, and it looks like serving Andy, being at his beck and call, and bringing.
Don't get used to it, Andy.
Don't get used to it. This is not a restaurant where you don't serve food to order, but. We're trying to laugh in the midst of it and make the best of it, knowing that although it's a right royal pain, we are better off. We are actually all healthy than so many who are actually already suffering.
Yeah, so here's a couple of other things we're doing. Well, number one is I called actually our local Shasta County Health and Human Services Department just to check, just let them know. I've come in from Germany. There's three of us who travelled all of us are self-isolating. Can we get a test? Because at least I was thinking, if I get tested and cleared, then I can get on with life. And their comment was, we are not testing you if you're feeling fine and not showing any symptoms. We just ask that you self-isolate. So it was kind of like, bummer. So as a result of that, all of my meetings with the team at work are via Zoom or via phones. There's a lot more of that. We're now making plans with a team where every morning we meet together via Zoom, talk about priorities, talk about plans, and then we pray together. And that's been really, really helpful. We actually got a lot done. The other thing is recognizing that there's a massive opportunity right now to influence people, because probably more than ever in our lifetimes, there will be people that are online on social media. So there's a bunch of things we're doing there that even you could jump in on Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Pacific time. I'm going to jump on board and just talk about some practical keys to find hope in crazy times. So that's coming up this coming Wednesday at 6 to 7 p.m. We also got the teams. We're going to be praying together because of what's going on. We're going to do that online. So if you want to find out more about that, jump onto heavenandbusiness.com. And the team's going to be also streaming and interviewing different people going through the next 2 weeks to keep a perspective of hope in making decisions and also knowing how to make those decisions. So later on this week, I've got a call with Brock Shinen, who's a lawyer and wrote the book, The Christian Entrepreneur. And so I've got a call with him at 10 a.m. on Thursday, and we're going to live stream that to the Facebook Heaven and Business page. So lots of things going on there. But staying hope-filled, staying connected. I still go for walks with my wife every day, although we can't hold hands and I have to walk 6 feet apart. And the other thing is, it's kind of funny that you in this environment where I'm stuck in my room, in my bedroom, the tendency would be just to get under the covers of the bed, feel sorry for myself, and start to feel depressed. So I have to make sure that I get up on time, make decisions, keep goals, go and do something physical. We back onto a recreation area. So I went for a run yesterday, went for a bike ride today, obviously on my own, but those things are really important. And keeping a goal in mind. So building things out right now, I've got plans for the future, because this too will pass.
Yeah. And I think finding simple pleasures, our oldest daughter, and it's just, again, the blessing of God, the timing of God, has been looking for a puppy, and in the middle of the day, she actually thought Andy was going to be stranded. She called me in a panic thinking Andy was going to be stuck in Europe for forever. But that day she found a puppy, and so on Friday, the day that Andy got home, so did this new little puppy come home. And so we are all just enjoying watching this little puppy bounce around the house. It's a great first grandmother sort of experience, where I get all the pleasure of watching the puppy and don't have to clean up any of the messes. But it's just, it's good to forget about the seriousness of what we're facing just by enjoying the simple things. And, you know, you can get really caught up in this is a serious time, and it takes serious measures to overcome it. But also I want to encourage you to find time and make time to enjoy simple things. And for Andy, that's going for a run. For me, that's going for a walk, enjoying playing games, playing ping pong with my son, and playing cards with my daughter. So encourage you to do those things as well.
Absolutely. So here's your daily prescription is one, read and pray Psalm 91 every day. That's just a really good anchor. Number two, do something fun. Make sure you do that. Whatever it is, choose to do something fun and keep that going. And then we'd encourage you also to have communion together. Just remembering that what Jesus did is full and final. And it covers every sickness and every disease. And pray that over your family and those around you. And anything else, Janine?
Yeah, I think Pastor Bill at church yesterday just talked about, you know, decide who you're going to believe. Decide, really. And I think it's deciding that you'll believe hope rather than the doom and gloom. And it doesn't mean that what's happening is not real, but it does mean that I'm going to look at it through the lens of the bigness of God and the goodness of God. And so I think, you know, choose you this day who you're going to serve, and keep that perspective in everything you face. And those other practical keys that Andy gave you are gold.
Yeah. And so finally, call somebody. Call, get on the phone. Get on FaceTime and call someone, encourage them, let them know you're thinking of them, because in all of this, you're not alone, and we're all in this together. So I just encourage you to do that. So if this has been of value to you, make sure you send it to someone, share it with them, and we just trust that we will still be here next week.
Well, you'll still be here. I might be out somewhere else. I'll
still be here. And I can't wait to hug my wife again. So make sure that you do that. Don't you dare distance yourself for the wrong reasons. So we bless your week. Have a great time, and thanks for listening.
That's good. I'm going to socially distance myself.